2 Corinthians chapter 12. We began to look at visions and revelations. But before then, we did the normal classification that we have received, and it's okay, where we looked at the gifts of the Spirit classified into three different groups. We said they are the utterance gifts that deal primarily with speaking, where you have tongues, you have interpretation of tongues, then you have prophecy. Then we also looked at the gifts of revelation, where those ones deal with something that is revealed, And then we saw word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then discerning of spirits. Why? Wisdom is something given as knowledge revealed. Same thing with knowledge. Then discerning of spirit of course shows knowledge. And then the last will be that which accomplishes a task. You know, that is energy is shown here. And then we saw the gifts of healings, the workings of miracles, and then the gifts of faith. And I told you last week that if you observe, the revelation gifts work almost in tandem with the utterance gifts. Often that when things come into operation, you may not have a distinction. For instance, when Paul says that when all of you come together and all of you prophesy, and at that point he was referring to tongues and interpretation of tongues. Of course, that would mean three gifts in operations. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. It says, and the unbeliever comes in. It says, and the secret of his heart is made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will report of the truth that God is with you. You see, now, that is revelation, but the vehicle is tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. So you can see how they work. And we said that the secret of his heart made manifest will deal with the three revelation gifts. One, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then the sign of spirits. That they work in tandem oftentimes. And then we looked at the example of Agabus. How Agabus, by tongues and interpretation signified by the Spirit, unveiled something that was going to happen, you know, in the Roman Empire then at the time of Caesar. And then it showed to the church. Now, that's just the background last week. Now let's take a step further. You have to pay particular attention now. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I will come to visions and revelations. And we said that every vision is a revelation, but not every revelation is a vision. Every vision is a revelation, but not every revelation is a vision. For instance, the word vision is taken from sight, S-I-G-H-T, to see. But let's just look at the normal sense of perception. I mean, if you are going to learn something, you use your eyes to see it, particularly. You use your ears to hear it. And then you use your feelings, your body to feel it, your nostrils, your smelling abilities to smell, also perceive. Now, when it comes to your mouth, you don't receive information in your mouth. Rather, you communicate information from your mouth. That's why we said the gifts of revelation deal with knowledge. They receive knowledge, while the gifts of utterance communicate knowledge. That's why oftentimes they work together, because oftentimes what you communicate will be the knowledge that you have received. Let me see how you are following that clearly. We said that last week. Is the knowledge that you have received is eventually what you will communicate. Now see this. So we said, visions and revelations. Now a vision is something you see. You don't perceive a vision in the sense of, I sense a vision. You actually have to see a vision. I mean, years back, I went a meeting, what you call the Holy Ghost meeting, and somebody told us he had seen something. So we began to ask him, what did you see? He said he saw flashes of light. I said, what does that mean? And then, of course, we eventually found out that it's a normal thing that you see when you close your eyes, and you see, you know, light, like, so just a sense of just close your eyes and all that. So that was a vision, as it were. I said, in a vision, you will see. Acts 2:17, it says that in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. It says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. He said, your young men shall see visions. He didn't say shall have visions. He said they shall see. When you have the word see visions there, that word is an exegetical usage of language where, for instance, Acts 2:39 talks about the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you hear the gift of the Holy Ghost is the gift. You are just repeating the words for emphasis. When you say shall see visions, I mean, if you had said they have visions, it's the same thing, because to actually, a vision is only a vision when something has been seen, just like you can see with your physical eyes. It's not just that you perceive something or you sense something, but the fact that you can readily see something. But not every revelation will be seen like a vision. Not every revelation will be seen like a vision. Now let me say this again, look up. Now, the five physical senses oftentimes in the things of the spirit take on the position of the human spirit. For instance, when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, he says, he that speaks in tongues, he says, speaks not to men, but to God. He says, for no man understands him, how be it in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, observe that. Now, when you speak with tongues, of course, it's your physical organ that is in operation, your mouth. But he's saying in the spirit. Of course, your physical body is not in the spirit. So the physical body oftentimes will be that outward expression of what is in the spirit of a man. Now, let's see what I mean. Now, when you talk about a vision, for instance, it will look as though your physical eyes are seeing something. That's the way it's going to look at. But you and I know that without the aid of the Holy Spirit within, even the Spirit of God within, your physical eyes could not have seen it. But your physical eyes will now take on like the image of spirit personality. But really you are in the spirit, you are of the spirit. So it will look as though your physical eyes are looking at something, but really not your physical eyes, because somebody just beside you will not see what you have seen. But the basic thing there is that, you know, it deals with the sense of sight. It deals with the sense of sight. The same way that something is seen physically, in the same way that you will see, you know, it will be as though you saw something physically. Just the same way when you speak with tongues, it's your physical mouth that is moving, but the ability that translated, you know, that utterance to a vocal state that people can hear you is actually spiritual in nature. And so when you talk about vision, you're actually talking about something that is seen, as it were, with the spiritual eyes of a man. It is seen. So we're talking about visions, don't forget, and revelations. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the revelation, actually that's the word, of the sons of God. The revelation, the unveiling of the sons of God. Of course, at that point, it's referring to the glorified physical body of the man who is born again. Now, you see a semblance or synonym of that word in 1 Corinthians 12:7. When it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. I want you to take note of those words. 1 Corinthians 12:4 now talks about the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Where you have the Greek word apodexis. There are three words I've just spoken about now. There's apokalypsis, there is phaneru, and there is apodexis. Apocalypsis and phaneru come together. They look alike. Why? Whenever you have apocalypsis, you have a full picture. Okay? You have a full picture. Whenever knowledge or an object, or let me say insight or knowledge, is not added. But whenever you have revelation knowledge, for instance, shows you it's not full, it's a gradual progression. For instance, when you hear about John, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's not a gradual progression. That is like something that you can see. So when it says the manifestation of the sons of God here, it's saying something you can see. They will see the sons of God. That's what he's saying. And, you know, this lends credence to vision. Something that you see. They will see the sons of God. But when he speaks about revelation knowledge, you're talking about something that you will see, but it will be a product of knowledge. And because knowledge is a progressive nature in man, so revelation knowledge, we call it, is a progressive engagement. Now, that's by the way. So, we said a vision is something that you see. Take note of what I just said now. A vision is something that you see. You will see something. Now, where the king of Syria, you know, warred against Israel, and then they encamped around them. And then the Bible tells us that, you know, they brought soldiers and then chariots and so on and so forth. And then the servant went to Elijah and told the master, what shall we do? Verse 15, 16. And then he answered, said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. They that be with us. And then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee. Look at this statement. Open what? His eyes, that he may see. Open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses, and the chariots of fire around about Elisha. He didn't mention the guy. That he might see. Now, whether he saw it or not, okay, the things were there. But then there's a prayer that he should open his eyes, the Lord should open his eyes to see. So now the guy saw it, and he saw the chariots of fire. You know, so in a vision, you will see it. It's not that you will sense it. You will see it. Something has to be seen. But not every revelation is going to be seen like that. Just like I explained to you earlier, when let me use this for instance. When it comes to visions, there must be a sight. You know, when I'm talking to you for the answer, I tell you, oh, it's this microphone that works with this microphone. And with it, you say, oh, I see. Now, you don't have a sight. You're actually referring to a knowledge that has come to you. Now, in that sense, revelation is about knowledge. But now, when it comes to vision, you will see something. Something, a sight is beheld. You will behold a sight. So, in this case, a saw chariot. And I spoke last week about symbols and all that. We're still going to go there. Now, Acts 26. The book of Acts of the Apostles, one of the places we read last week. Paul relates that Damascus experience. There's a lot to learn from there. And we'll see it a couple of times in this segment of this series. Acts 26. Now he begins to describe the vision that he saw. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, verse 12. At midday, O king, I saw in the way. What did he see? A light. From where? You are not there. Acts 26 verse 12. Midday, O king, I saw what? In the way, what did I see? A light from heaven. Above the brightness of the sun. Shining about me and them that journeyed with me. So he saw a sight of a light that, you know, particularly was around himself and those that, you know, moved with him. They were going together to go and execute judgment against the saints. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. Please take note. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, Why persecute me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Look at chapter 2, 22. Verse 9, the same thing. Describing the same vision. Is it an eye? No, verse 6, pardon me. It came to pass that I made my journey and was come near to Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecute. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke unto me. So they saw the light. And the Bible says that they were afraid. Now look at what exactly happened. It wasn't physical sun, because it says in verse 10, And when I could not see because I was blind. Verse 11, sorry. Huh? Is that what it said? Because of the glory of what? That light. Being led by the hand, you know, that were with me, I came into Damascus. So you can see that all of them saw the light, but it was the only one that could not see physically because of the glory of the light. Now, notice something. The light did not reveal anything. The light did not reveal anything. Because if the light revealed something, then all of them will have, you know, gone together along the same path. The light did not reveal anything. He saw the light, but the light did not reveal anything. Let me give you an instance now. Assuming the prophet's son, prophet's servant, in 1 Kings, 2 Kings 6, assuming he saw the chariots of fire, and then maybe you would have thought the king of Syria came with more jasmine. Somebody had to tell him, these ones are with us. That's the prophet. So the sights reveal nothing in themselves. I'll give you another instance. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Don't forget, we're dealing with visions and revelation. Acts 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, sent a man called Italian. Okay? And he says, a devout man, one that fears God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Verse 3 together, let's take it. One to go. And saying to him, Cornelius. So he saw in a vision. That is, and I love the best way to describe a vision is a divinely granted appearance. A divinely granted sight. A divinely granted appearance at the ninth hour of the day. What's the ninth hour of the day? 3 p.m. And the angel of the Lord coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius, and when he looked to him, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said, Thy prayers and alms have come up as from miracle for God. He said, Now send men to Joppa to call for Simon, whose name is Peter. Now, notice two things. What did he see? What did he see? Now, assuming he saw the angel, would he have gone ahead to call for Peter? No. He had to hear something. Now, did he hear it by sight? So he heard it, assuming, for instance, I can see the microphone, I can see the speaker, but I need to hear what is being said through the speaker in my ears. So he saw an angel, but then he heard the voice of the angel giving him instruction. Always separate both. What he heard from the angel is not a vision. Are we together? Could he have heard something without saying it? Sure. But you can't hear something by seeing it. There are two different things, experiences that happened to him here now. So they went ahead and called. Now look at Peter's case. And this will explain a couple of other things. On the morrow, verse 9, as they went to the journey, Peter went up to the house to pray the sixth hour, about 12 noon. And he became hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready food, he fell into a trance. When you fall into a trance, okay, in that instance, his physical senses are suspended. Notice how he describes Cornelius' case. We're still going to get there, but I think I mentioned this, I can't meet him. In Cornelius' case, he was not in a trance. He just looked straight. Okay? And he saw everything. He said he saw clearly. That is, when he said he saw clearly, it's the same way I can see you now. You know, he's just right there in his room. Maybe he's in a private place, and then he's in his room, you know, doing, maybe trying to use his computer, and then he just looks to the right as he uses his computer. Then he sees someone stand like this. That's not his houseboy. He's not his brother. And then he says, "Hello, Cornelius." He looks around. The room is not moving. It's not shaking. In fact, sometimes when you have an open vision like that, the fellow will sit on a chair, just like this chair. Sometimes you could pick up your pen. Say, "This is your pen." And so it will relate with you just like you're seeing physically. You know, and that's an open vision. But in this case, Peter fell into a trance. And that's what they do in most of these white garment churches. You try to freak it up. At that point, your physical senses are suspended. Not likely your eyes are opened. You know, look at the case where I showed you last. We're still going to look at that one too. Acts 12, when that angel struck Peter, you know, he actually hit him. Can you remember? He hit him. So Peter's senses were active. Whenever you have a divinely granted appearance that is open, your physical senses are active. He actually hit him. Boom! And Peter got up. He said, "Go like this." And he went through all the gates and all that. And then he came out. And then until everything was done, that was a vision. Because the thing was until that angel disappeared. Oh, that was a vision. You know, and I asked you a question. Was it last week? I said, Acts 8, Philip, was it a vision? Because it disappeared from somewhere, appeared somewhere, it appeared to the Enoch, and Enoch did not see, it vanished out of his sight. Was it a vision? Let me give you another reference so that will help you think. When Jesus appeared to those folks on the road to Emmaus and he disappeared from their sight, was that a vision or was it Jesus himself? Because it's the same instance, you know, that we have. So just give me some thoughts, alright? Just along this teaching, we'll see what it was. But don't be too fast. Are we together? Alright, good. Now, observe this case now. So Peter is in a trance. Then he saw heaven opened. He saw heaven opened. And a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth. So he saw something opened. And where were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and five wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. That's serious. Now let's stop all there. If you wake up, or you have a vision, and that's all you saw, or you see, except you are into all this mystic, esoteric Christians, you will be stunned. What is this? This is four-footed beast and all that. I mean, at that point, and that's a vision. He just saw something. So, after he saw that, then a voice came to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now, I If you lose this one, too bad. Or unclean. Because by the law, you are not supposed to eat this kind of animals. And the voice came again to him, you know, the second time. Now, observe the second time. What God had cleansed, thou shalt not call, or thou shalt not call, or that call not thou uncommon. Now, let's even assume we know what he was saying. That was saying, go ahead and pray to the Gentiles. Now, was he saying, kill the Gentiles and eat them? Huh? Alright. So, that means kill and eat were not what? Huh? Was he supposed to kill and eat them, really? He was supposed to. Why did he say no? He was supposed to kill, I mean, obedience would be to kill and eat them, right? He would have eaten them, but would he have had his belly filled with food? Huh? Or you have had that experience before? But wasn't talking, no, what I'm going here is that, see a clear distinction between a vision and a revelation. In the sense of the knowledge of the vision. What is the vision passing across? Three times it was done. Now verse 17 now says that Peter doubted, that what is he wondered. He was wondering in his mind, what does it mean? Now, he was wondering. So, don't lose this now. That means, look up, in a vision, okay, you can only understand to the degree of the information already in your mind. Here is Peter wondering, what does this mean? What I've called, I've cleansed, don't call uncommon. And you will see much later that Peter's knowledge came to play here. He just wondered, what is all this about? So he wondered in his mind. So, a vision is seen, revelation is received. The disclosure of what you have seen will be received in the mind. Because the mind is a spiritual part of man also. Is received in the mind. And that's why some people will come up, they'll see a vision, and they cannot relate with it well. Why? Because their minds require some information they don't have. They can come back to you and they can describe it to you. You know the interesting part of it? By the time you look at how Peter related the vision to folks in Acts 11, even Peter could not explain what he had seen and heard, such that out of that period, they still did not preach to the Gentiles until Acts 15. Are we together here? Come on, guys. Are we together here? They still could not relate with that. So, look at how it went. Those folks, while he was, you know, speaking and then folks were looking for him, look at verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, he was thinking on it. And that's what a lot of people would never do. He was thinking. Now, that's meditation. He was thinking on what he had seen. And that's from where you receive understanding. He was thinking, what have I seen? What have I heard? And the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. Arise therefore, and get down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, observe something. Here he is, he heard the Spirit speak to him, and he says, go. Follow these guys. I have sent them. So he goes. Now, look at verse 21. He went down with this man, and then he said, behold, I'm he whom you seek. What is the cause, therefore, that you have come? So, he wasn't sure of what he was going to do. Let me see how we are following this. He still wasn't sure. Then he said, the centurion, a just man, and one that fears God and of good report among all nations of Jews, was warned by God, by holy angel, to send for thee to his house to hear the words of thee. And then he called them in and lodged them. And the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So they stayed overnight. So they got there. Cornelius fell down and took him. I said, no, I'm a man like you, 26. He talked with them. He went in and found that they were come together. So he said to them, you know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has showed me that I shall not call any man common or unclean. Now, where do you think that understanding came from? Was it in the vision? You are not following. Are you following me at all? So he's not saying, look, God has said, I should not. Because this is something he still was wondering. What does this mean? Until those folks came, until he was told, follow them and go and speak to them, then it was clear to him. Well, I can go to the house of the Gentiles. That's what God is saying now. And he says, and as I came unto thee, came saying, as soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore, what was the intent that you sent me? 4 days I was fasting, Cornelius said, this hour, and then he spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. And then Peter says, okay. Then he opened his mouth and said, of the truth I perceive that God's no respecter of persons. That was what he saw in the vision. In every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness are settled with him. So he says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. So he began to preach the gospel. One thing I respect about this, you know, is this. About this instance. He got to the house of an unbeliever, a reputable person. Somebody who is wealthier than Peter. Somebody who has more clout. And he goes there and he understands his mission straight. He begins to talk about Jesus. You know, but that's beside what we're sharing tonight. And he begins to talk immediately about Jesus. So, notice that it was after the vision, there were needs for clarification along the way. And that's what I tell folks a lot of times. Sometimes when you see something, you know, don't jump up and start talking. Maybe you should wait. Maybe like Peter, you should wait for things to be clearer. Years ago, I had a vision like that, and then I made my own conclusion. Because there's a way, you know, your mind, in those days, I had a seat of teachers to listen to. So by the time I saw that vision, I just gave it an interpretation. And so I began a series of teaching along that lane, you know, in stupidity, because you were supposed to wait. It was until a day, 3 years after, no, a year after, I went for a meeting, and a man was preaching. And he said he had the same divinely granted appearance. And he used the same, it was the same sight, the same thing. The only difference was that it was him, this was me. So he just said something. And immediately everything came clear. It just became clear. I mean, I could just see that I was wandering in the bush. Because most of the time, you think that seeing a vision is something special. That, oh, you are a great man of God. And God is, you know, as we are going to see much later, a vision is the lowest type of revelation. That's why it contains the littlest of information. Is the lowest type of revelation. We can almost not call it a revelation, but because, you know, in a vision, you have the discerning of spirits. Notice what I said. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the discerning of spirits. In verse 10, that word means to see, to perceive spirits. Now, when you hear spirit, it's talking about things of the spirit. People, persons, activities of the spirit. You have the word of knowledge, and then you have the word of wisdom. All, you know, bringing in revelation. Now, let us explain some things. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. the Pauline prayer. The Pauline prayer is this. He says, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, verse 15, and the love unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look at 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Observe something. He's saying, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Now, when you see a vision, okay, when there's a vision and it is clear or it is not clear, the status or the state of that vision will be dependent on how much of the eyes of your mind are opened. How much of the eyes of your mind are open? That is, can you relate with it intellectually in your mind? It says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That you may know. So it lends credence to this, and listen well, that the height of revelation is not to see things, but it is to know perfectly the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to see things. This prayer will be prayed for everyone who sees visions every day. This prayer was needed by Peter. This prayer was needed for Cornelius also. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, flooded with light. That word enlightened is where you get education. That is, you now derive a standpoint, a status, by the function of what you have seen. I want you to observe something. He's saying here, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look up. A vision is to see people, is to see things. And it is a revelation, but a low one. But here, we have revelation in the knowledge of him. So, we're not talking about seeing Jesus, we're talking about knowing Jesus. So knowledge comes in here. Not just seeing something, not just being aware of something, but then we have a knowledge of someone. The book of Revelation, for instance, is visions about Jesus, but hardly can you know Jesus from the book of Revelation. You will need to come back to the epistles to know what God did in Christ Jesus. To know what happened from the cross and then to the throne. But in Revelation, you see him wearing gold, bronze, and then you see fire and all sorts. Everything having one symbolic representation. You still need to come back to the epistles in the knowledge of him. So the height of revelation is not to see things. The height of revelation is knowledge. That is the height of revelation. That was why Paul said, that if you observe, I showed you last week, 2 Corinthians 12 and 1, see, I come to visions and revelations. He now said the angel of Satan was given to buffet him because he had abundance of revelation. So he had left behind visions. Abundance of revelation. Abundance of revelation. Things that he understood. Things that he was communicating to the church. The abundance of revelation. Every vision will need the word of knowledge, most importantly, and the word of wisdom to explain. And no vision grants you insight into God's word. A vision only explains spiritual things, people, events, or occurrences. Thou shalt not call uncommon that which I have cleansed. How did he do it? He did it in Jesus. So it was not explained by what? Seeing animals. But you see, to fully understand what happened to Jew and Gentile, you will need that your eyes of understanding be flooded with light. You will need to study the book of Galatians, the book of Hebrews, and understand the book of Ephesians also. So the eyes of revelation is not a vision, it's knowledge. What did I call it? Now let me talk about the word of knowledge, for instance. The word of knowledge is the word, a fragment, a speech, like a phrase into an experience. The word knowledge, there will be gnosis, something that is happening or has happened. The word of wisdom is a speech or an utterance of counsel, something that points into what you are going to do or what you know you are about to do or see. So whenever we speak about visions, they are the lowest type. And see, and I said visions have divine, they have open visions and closed visions. You have the trance and you have the open vision. And even interestingly, when you look at that vision where your senses are suspended and you fall into a trance, it is still the lowest type of a vision. The highest type of a vision will be the one where your physical senses are not suspended. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you that the eye point of spiritual realities or revelation is the mind of man. You see, the more your mind can play in spiritual things, the higher the revelation is. Where your mind is absent, and this is how people come up, and they just say, "I don't know what I saw. I just saw this. I saw that." They will begin to think that they are, you know, heavy guys and all that. But you see, they are functioning on the lowest level. The guy that can come up with the scriptures and teach, you know, and explain the scripture, revelation of the scriptures, has the highest point of revelation. The less the senses, you know, he says, when you have the senses and then they are suspended. In the sense of, you know, the guy falls into a trance, he closes his eyes and all that, is a low point of the vision. Interestingly. Now let me show you something. Look at, I'm open to three different openings. Acts 9. And that is where, when there is no knowledge, never act on a vision. Where there is no knowledge, don't act on a vision. There has to be clear-cut knowledge. Don't act on a vision. Acts 9. Look at what Luke wrote. And he journeyed, verse 3, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, that is Saul, and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecute me?" And that went on. There was a discussion. Trembling, astonished, he said, "Lord." So he was speaking. He was speaking. Then Jesus was talking to him. Look at 7. And then the men which journeyed with him stood what? Speechless. Hearing a voice and seeing no man. Hearing a voice and seeing no man. Now go to Acts 22. Of course, Luke is giving you a third party account. Now let's hear from the fellow who was there himself. Verse 6. It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come near unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly shone from heaven a great light about me. And he says, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, "Saul, Saul, why persecute me?" And then all that. Look at verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid. They saw the light and then they were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spoke unto me. They heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. Acts 9:7 says they heard a voice. And you can call what they see contradictions. You know, I say, well, you know, the way Luke didn't understand. He said they heard a voice. Paul was more comprehensive. He said a light shined on them too. They saw the light, they were afraid. You know, he says they heard the voice, they heard not the voice that spoke to me. Acts 26, verse 14. It was more explicit. And we were all falling to the earth. And I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. So he heard the voice. Now, let me just explain that to you. And this will bring out what I was saying earlier about visions. Everybody saw the light. Everybody saw the light. Okay? Now, let me ask a question. Did Paul see Jesus? Look at it. Read through the three accounts. I'll come back to me. I'll give you 2 minutes. I don't have time. Read through the three accounts. Just look at it. Did he see Jesus? Because we have all held a traditional belief somewhere. Look at it. Huh? He did not. How did you know? Huh? I didn't hear you. The what? I can't hear you now. He heard a voice. Did all of them have the same vision? Did they all see the light? They all fell down. Interestingly, the way the translations put it was very poor. They all heard the voice, but it was the only one that understood what the voice was saying. They all heard the voice, but it was the only one that was why it was the only one responding. Now, in Ananias' case, chapter 9, Jesus saw him in a vision. He said to him in a vision, said, Lord, I'm here, Lord. Said, Ananias, I'm here, Lord. He said, arise and go to the street called Straight and all that. So it was, clear. He saw Jesus. But in Paul's case, he saw light. And the light came with a sound that was heard by all and sundry, and only one person understood the voice. I'll give you an instance in John 12. In John 12 verse 27, Jesus was speaking, and then he says, now is my soul troubled, what shall I say, Father, save me from this hour, But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Father, glorify thy name. And there came what? There came what? From heaven. Saying what? I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now, please observe something. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Did they hear those words? Huh? No. So it came to them as thunder or the voice of an angelic being. Nothing came to them. They said, now this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. And that voice was speaking to him. So, look at how different things happen to different people in a vision. Are we together? Different things happened. And they heard something too. The same case in Acts 9. Those folks heard something. They saw something. But it was not an end in itself. Just like Elisha's servant saw chariots of fire. But chariots of fire could just mean about anything. It could just mean they are even coming after you. Elisha had to say, they that are with us. So the Greek it says, I mean, the other one, that's Acts 22 and then 27. So it says, he did not understand the voice. But that voice was to him in an Hebrew tongue. That voice was to him in an Hebrew tongue. And I've said to you before, the spirit of man does not speak English. The spirit of man does not speak Yoruba. Okay? But that was how he received it in his intellect. In his mind. So for there to be revelation to you, the mind must understand it. The mind must have a grip of it. If you saw something and you could not explain what it was, is the state of your mind. It goes the same way with tongues and interpretation and prophecy. If tongues are spoken and then your mind is unfruitful, is the state of your mind. Now, we are in a dispensation of revelation. God does not want to shroud anything in a mystery to anybody. Now, let me explain. What Peter saw in a vision was if he struggled with it because he struggled with the same words that Jesus spoke. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. I believe this. This is what I think. Look up, guys. With the benefit of hindsight, now we know that the book of Matthew and Mark were written after the disciples had understood the gospel. I believe that when Jesus was expressly telling them, go into all the nations and preach the gospel to every creature, they didn't pay attention to that. It was after the Acts 15 experience, okay, and the Acts 11 experience, that then their mind now was addressed to this. One of the things Jesus said was they were going to make disciples of every nation. Because every nation already opens up what Acts 9 was saying in that vision. Acts 10. But you think that you are reading things in history that they have this and they did this and all that. But really, it was after they had understood the gospel that their mind now paid particular attention. Let me say this. See, there are some things, for instance, there are some things, if you are teaching God's word now, some of you will not pay attention to some things now. Why? It's your level of understanding. Years to come. I don't know whether that has happened to you. Years to come, you just say, some things will not come back like a flash. Oh, then you will now seem to understand a statement I made. Well, somebody in the congregation understood it immediately because he had moved beyond that level of understanding. Let me see if I get what I'm saying here. So you can only function at the level of your understanding. So we just said this, we just said, go among the Jews. They were used to what they had told them earlier in Matthew 10. Let's just go and preach the gospel to all. So it was after these experiences that they now, oh, he said all nations. He said all creature. So it clicked. And the same thing. So understand this. Until you understand scriptures very well, that is why it is dangerous to be around somebody who does not have understanding of clarity of scriptures and is seeing visions. It's dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. The highest point of revelation is revelation knowledge of the scriptures, of God's word. All that God has done in Christ Jesus. Well, this is a revelation and revelation knowledge now. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. It says, if you speak with tongues, your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. Howbeit, I will speak with tongues, and I will speak with interpretation also. I will speak with interpretation also. Notice that. So your mind needs to be well endowed with knowledge. For whatever is in a vision to be a blessing. We can write this, you know, we'll just round off here now. A vision is part of that group we call revelation, but comprises of symbols and sights and scenes, persons, things, experiences to see. Understanding will have to come by an instruction and then by explanation. Let me now say this. Look up. Peter had a vision. Because some of you can blame Peter for anything. Peter had a vision. But you see, even what he heard, okay, what he heard in that vision, it was not sufficient. What Paul heard, it was not, whatever you hear in a vision will never be sufficient. It can't be. That's why the book of Revelation, you will need to come back to the epistles. It's not sufficient. Because you're talking about, just like the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is an experience. It just made you see tree of life. And you, so, the Canaan are looking for a tree. Tree of life, snake, this and that. All experiencing, explaining man's disobedience. Now look at the difference. Look, let's place Genesis chapter 3 side by side with Romans 5:12. By one man, sin entered into the world. Genesis 3. Tree. Apple. Adam. Eve. Serpent. You'll be wise. You'll not be wise. Look at all that was involved. And easily you can be lost in all that melodrama. Until someone comes to tell you, sin entered into the world, and then we all died in Adam. Now, what is the height of revelation there? Romans 5:12. The lowest point, Genesis 3. Are we together? Okay? Insight will come later, just like Paul. Insight to speaking, you know, relating with the Jews, understanding the gospel to the Gentiles, came much later. It came by a study of the scriptures. That vision did not explain anything about salvation of the Gentiles to him. Study of the scriptures. So that means visions are a pointer. They are not an end. The key thing for a vision is revelation. Revelation will address your mind and teach you. Visions will place pictures across your mind. At times you will find streams of pictures. It will come in a stream. You just have things happen, you know, and all that. And let me just say this, you know, it's good to also know that if you came out from a white garment background, okay, this is not trying to say anything, just, it's very likely that you will have a misunderstanding of Revelation, the four, until, what I advise people oftentimes, when they come from that background, is to totally divorce that experience from their lives and sit with the scripture. You can easily be misled and sit with the scriptures. If you have a meeting like this, it takes nothing for people to see visions. No. All a man needs to do is to want to see it. You will see angels, you see things, and all that. But you see, we will still come back to sit down and understand the word of God. So, we can never place visions, is at the bottom, bottom ladder of revelation. We're going to look at it later next week, where we'll see the word of knowledge in revelation knowledge. And you understand, you know, how these things are classified. Let me close now. So, whenever we look at visions, a vision only brings pictures. Pictures. Now, in it, you can have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Go to the street, call straight, you see a man praying, you know, Saul. But even with that, it's never complete. A man will need to sit down on top of all the vision that Paul had, you know, and Jesus said to Ananias clearly, and he told the disciples, he said, he will teach, bear my name before kings, before the peoples, and, you know, before my people Israel. But it didn't make any difference. There was still a need for proper explanation of the scriptures. From the scriptures. So, visions are the lowest type. Next week or the week after, we're going to see different kinds of visions, you know, and all that. And how some of us have missed out. Sometimes visions can come to you in a dream. I said sometimes. You know, sometimes it can come to you. And I was saying last week, that is it possible to have a vision unconsciously? Of course you can. Peter did. He can. Peter also did. He had a vision, you know, unconsciously. And all that. Sometimes, you know, the scene of angels, for instance, because angels are spiritual bodies, it will need the sign of spirits to see them. It has come to you by a vision. Same thing with demons and all that. It comes the same way. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter of that. Let's bow our heads and just thank the Lord.